we extend to you a warm welcome to our radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Christmas is an emotional season of the year. In today's sermon, we will see the emotion of Mary when the angel announced that she would give birth to the Son of God. It was overwhelming. Her emotion is awe. During this Advent season, I am preaching a series of sermons on the general theme, People Around the Manger. Again, today it's Mary, as we see this maiden standing before God and receiving her calling. We open our service then in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the mystery that surrounds your birth. And we pray that as we too stand in awe, after years of study and research, that we can only say, what the mind cannot understand, faith can comprehend. Help us to understand how important it was that you came, God, in the person of the Christ child, to bear with us, to understand the walk that we walk, to take our sins and to be our Savior. Hear our prayer, and Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to see the mystery of the Christmas gospel. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6 months. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, in this second sermon of our Advent series, focusing on people around the manger, we meet a young teenage girl living in Nazareth whose name was Mary. She was pledged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. One day, Mary was greeted by the angel Gabriel. And this was the message: "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, you know, people don't listen to angels every day. Mary was startled. She didn't know what to do. She stood in awe. And then the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You're going to have a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He is going to build a kingdom that will have no end." Can you imagine getting a message like this? Now, she had never been to college. She had never been to seminary. What was this all about? "But don't be afraid." That was the first part of his announcement to this young maiden. Today we have before us in this announcement what is known as the doctrine of the incarnation. Now I know, friend, that there are those who will say that, well, away with doctrine. We don't need creeds anymore, we need deeds. but I can assure you that there will be very few deeds if we do not have some creeds. That does not take away from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But when that relationship exists, then we need to be well established in what the Christian faith is all about. And I fear that some of that is lacking in our day. One of the major biblical doctrines that must have great emphasis in the teaching of the Christian faith is the doctrine of the incarnation. That is, God came to this world, took on flesh, and dwelt among us. It was his desire to reveal himself to humans. He had given us the creation, and the psalmist could say, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Nature is a tremendous revelation of God, but it is not enough. He gave us the prophets who preached and taught in a specific manner that lifted up the souls of many and revealed to people that they needed a Savior. As great as the prophets were, it was not enough. So in the fullness of time, God then comes with his primary revelation. He comes in the babe of Bethlehem's manger. He comes in the person of Jesus Christ. He comes to take on flesh. He comes to walk among us. He comes to be tempted in all points as we are, yet without sinning. He comes to reveal to us that God's basic concern for human beings is that they live in a personal relationship with him while they walk on this earth, and then one day he will take them home to heaven. He comes to take our sins. He comes to restore us into fellowship with God. Stop and think of it, friend. Now, this is a drastic statement, but it is true. When you look at the babe in Mary's arms, you look into the face of God incarnate. That is a tremendous mystery. I like what the fathers wrote way back in 325 for the Council at Nicaea. It is a Nicene Creed that from time to time is used in some of our churches. And this is what it says about Christ's birth. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. That is very, very, very profound. Stop and think of it. God has come to this world and revealed himself in Jesus Christ, who is the God-man. It is a mystery, isn't it? We have to receive it in faith. When by the grace of God it is received in faith, then it becomes very understandable. And we know what God is up to. We know, for example, that no one knows it any better than God, that the human being is separated from him. And that which separates us is sin. We have all sinned. We transgress sins every day. God can have nothing to do with that sin. The law makes that very, very clear. But God came then into this world, and he takes the initiative. It is not our coming to God, but it is God coming to us. God takes the initiative and breaks into this world approximately 2,000 years ago. During the course of his walk on this earth, he uses God's law, and he shows us who we really are. He reveals to us that I am a person outside of relationship with God because of my sins, but that does not mean that he does not love me. He loves me so much that he was willing to walk here for 33 years, during those last 3 years, to be treated shamefully by others. And then he died on a cross. There he took the sins of the world upon him. There he nailed them to the cross. There he paid the price for these sins. And then after he had been put in the tomb, 3 days later, he bursts forth again as the risen Lord Jesus Christ. In faith, if we will receive him, we then become the children of God. For it is in John's Gospel, chapter 1, where we read that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to those who received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. It must be the prayer of God's people, the church, to pray during the course of these days as we're being prepared for Christmas, that this may be a time of spiritual awakening in our land and in our churches, and that men and women who probably knew nothing about this incarnation can come to understand what Christmas is really all about. When Mary heard this announcement, as we have said already, she was afraid. And the angel then said to her, Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You're going to have a child, and that child is going to be great. You're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You know, the Jewish people thought so much of that throne when King David was reigning here. Well, that's a kind of a throne, but far more than that. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He is going to establish a kingdom that will have no end, none whatsoever. And again she stood in awe, and she asked the question, how can this be? I am a virgin. And then there is more information that comes to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. It is not the sperm of Joseph, it's the Holy Spirit who has come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he says, you know, even Elizabeth, she's an old lady, your relative, she's going to have a child in her old age. This is just to remind you, Mary, that nothing, no, nothing in all the world is impossible with God. And then it is that Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. We learn a great deal from Mary at this particular time. You know, we can treat Mary in three ways. We can worship her. And for Protestant Christians, we find nothing in the Bible that says we should do that. We can ignore her. And I'm afraid that all too often in Protestantism, we have done just that. But what we need to do is to learn from her. To learn. You know, we learn a great deal from some of the other great people of God. We learn a lot from Paul, his zeal, the clarity of his message, his longing to serve Christ in the very best way he can. We find the same with Peter. We learn about the love of God from John. Well, here is this woman by the name of Mary. And there are just two things that I would really like to point out that we can learn as we prepare for Christmas from that one who gave birth to the God incarnate. And it is this. She learned to live with the mystery of Jesus Christ. Even she who bore him did not have all of the answers. But in faith, she received what God had given to her. She lived with that mystery for 33 years. You recall the child was born, and she and Joseph cared for him in their home. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the temple. And when they were on their way back home after observing the Jewish rites, they couldn't find Jesus. They went back to the temple, and there they found him together with some of the learned people of the day, asking and answering questions. They were amazed at what he knew. And it was then that Mary said, or the Bible says regarding Mary, she kept all of these things in her heart and pondered them. She lived with the mystery. When Jesus began his ministry, and some began to belittle him, and some said that he was crazy, Mary got some of her other sons, and they went to find him and pleaded with him to come back home. She could not understand what was going on. She realized that he preached as no other person had ever preached, that he performed miracles and all of these other blessed things. But there was something about him that she still could not understand. And then at the age of 33, she stood beneath the cross of Jesus. And as she looked up into the face of her son, whom she had given birth to in Bethlehem's manger, awe-stricken at that time, and she wondered, why then would they kill him? She was in such grief that Jesus had to say to John, take her home. Take her home and care for her. But then 3 days later, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there was Mary. And on that Easter Eve, that Easter night, when they had gathered in the upper room, there was a mother pondering the mystery. People, we can't understand all that takes place in this great Christmas gospel. But we can never reduce it just to the story of a person being born, a great man, a great teacher, a great example. We must understand that he is far more than that, that he is the God of God and the Lord of Lords, that he is the Savior, the only Savior of the world. And in him is our salvation. Even though you and I cannot understand it, and I have just come from a theological conference with some of the most learned of theological scholars, there is still no explanation. Only faith can lay hold of this. But in that faith, we are blessed to know that we have a Savior. And here we also learn what God has done for us in calling us, giving us an assignment. There was nothing in Mary that was so outstanding, I don't imagine, but he just chose her. And God has chose you and me not to do anything as great as what Mary did, perhaps, but he has chosen us to be his witness in this world if we know him as Savior and Lord. He might even just be saying to us, take a look at that child, that grandchild. There is your ministry right now in this world. When people ask me now, what are your grandchildren going to do? I have to come up with the answer, I don't know. They have to make those decisions themselves. But one thing I pray for is that they will find out where the Lord really wants them. Where he really wants them. In this Advent season, take time to think. Think about what we are celebrating. The birth of the Christ child, yes, the Christ child is a God incarnate. He is the one who wants to be your Savior. He wants to walk with you for our time here, and then he wants to be with you forever. Isn't that awe-stricken? Turn to him, love him, serve him. Amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, our thoughts go out to those who are sick and shut in, to the masses of people who this day probably have no hope. Grant that they may understand that God has come to this world to be their lover, to be their pastor, but above all, to be their Savior. God, may we find hope, peace, and comfort in knowing that you have been here and that you are here in your own way now. Give us grace to live with the mystery, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the music and message presented brings peace and joy during this busy Advent season. We welcome any first-time listeners to our program today. May Reverend Larson's message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gift to our ministry is tax deductible. We ask for your prayers as well as your financial support. Please pray that our gospel message will reach those who most need to hear these words of comfort and peace. Cassette tape, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.